Well, this morning we're going to finish our series in Psalm 37. So if you want to get your Bible, would you get out Psalm chapter 37? We've been 3 weeks here in this series, and for Father's Day, I thought, what a great way to honor our dads by letting you know that it is not my fault the way that I am. It's my daughter's fault. My oldest daughter, she got me a calendar of dad jokes. Every day is a new dad joke that I get to peel back and I get to read. Now, some of them are not funny. Others of them are the greatest ab workout I've had in a couple of weeks. And I just sit in my office and I laugh and I laugh and I laugh. So I don't want to be one of those that just keep that to myself. I want to bless all of you with some dad jokes. Some of you are like, bring it on, I can't wait. Some of you are like, oh, it's okay, I'm used to it. Dad jokes, it's how I roll. So some of the things that dads say could be seen as a dad joke, but if you say this, you're not just the only one. And kids, if this is not the first time you've heard this, just relax. Your dad is like every other dad. If you want to give a hearty laugh and amen, if children want to stand to applause, that is fine as well. If you just want to go, oh, then I know I've done really, really well. Okay? When someone leaves the room and comes right back because they forgot something, dad says, well, that was fast. I've said that. When hearing the police sirens in the distance, dad says, oh no, they're coming for you. When someone makes a mistake between their left and their right hand, dad says, no, the other right. I just said that yesterday. When dad answers the phone, yellow. I'm the only one. That's okay. I will start the new trend. When the bill comes for the restaurant and dad says, what's the damage? I am really, girls, I'm sorry. I'm the only one on this one. When blocking the view of the TV, dad says, you make a better door than a window. Come on. Yes, I thank you, Paul. I feel it alone. When you enter a new town and dad has a running commentary on the price of gas. I'm really feeling alone right now. When dads ask, are you working hard or hardly working? When dad turns to the kids at the restaurant, when the waitress brings the bill and says they're paying for it. My kids don't even blink anymore, like, dad, whatever, just pay the bill. My final one and my personal favorite. When the neighbor cuts the grass or washes his car, you yell across, can you do mine next? Come on. Come on, you don't look at your neighbor and say to him, now that you've practiced on yours, you can come do mine to perfection. Girls, I'm all alone. Dads, it's a great job. It's a great ministry. It's a high calling. It's not easy. But this morning we're in Psalm 37, and David is at the end of his life. And David is reflecting on the years that God has given him. Some commentators believe that he may be struggling through an illness, battling some kind of sickness, and it's causing him to reflect. Now, I'm 40. I was born in 81. And I found myself taking more time to pause and reflect and to say those magic words, I remember when. I remember when. And I can reflect on the faithfulness of God. And I'm only 40. I can't only imagine when I'm 60, 70, 80, that I would take time to reflect even more upon the faithfulness and the promises of God and His Word. The older I get, the more faithful God continues to be. So we have the privilege and pleasure of sitting at the feet of David, who is at the end of his life, sitting around writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, giving wisdom to his children. And today on Father's Day, today as we dedicated those children so desperately need the wisdom of an older gentleman. So by now you should be in Psalm 37 as we lean in and finish out Psalm 37. I'm not going to be able to finish it all, but I want to give some highlights from Psalm 37 starting in verse 25. David writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, I have been young and now I'm old. He can go back and remember the times that he was out in the fields tending sheep as a young man, 14, 15, 16 years old, not being invited to the coronation of his brother's kingship. He was being left out. He can go back and remember those times in the field. He can look back at the faithfulness of God, and he says this to his children, I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Out of all my years, God has never forsaken on his promise. And friends, we need to hear that today. My generation, born in 81, we have not seen hardship. As some, with much respect, that are 78, 79, have. And we can learn a lot from those ahead of us as they continue to remind us, times change, but God's provision never does. David is sitting there saying, I can remember when I was 3, 4, 5, and I can remember to this day. And there wasn't a day that God forsook his people. Remember the truths and the promises of God's word. God will not give you all of your wants, but he will provide for all of your needs. Because if we would stop the service, we could be reminded again and again and again of how God has provided. And it seems the older you get, the more you remember the faithfulness of God. David says, I don't even remember a time that his descendants begged for bread. Now, in a few hours, you're going to get to go out and you're going to have a wonderful celebration of Father's Day. How do you celebrate? Well, you celebrate with no vegetables, something that had a face goes on the grill, and there's a lot of carbohydrate loading with sugar afterwards and then a power nap in the recliner to the glory and honor of Jesus. Can I get a witness this morning? That's all I want. Not particularly in that order either. But David, he sits there and he says, kids, God has never forsook a promise. And church, let's remember the promises of God. In times of ease and the times of discomfort, David is writing saying, I have not foreseen the righteous forsaken. It's never happened in my whole life, and today's not a new day. It will not happen. God will provide for your needs. All day long, God is gracious. And I cannot prove it, but I just wonder, and wonder with me for a minute. I wonder if David is reminded of God's graciousness in his darkest time with Bathsheba. Where David went and said, I want to do things my way according to my will. And he did it. And he had a horrendous sin with Bathsheba, where he went out and committed adultery. He went out and murdered someone. He went out and coveted. He went out and stole. And yet God forgave him. And David is reminded of the graciousness of God. And friends, this morning, we need to be reminded of the graciousness that God has given us. How has he demonstrated grace? He gave us Jesus Christ. And we sang about that this morning. The blood covers it all. What a beautiful song by Chloe. Beautiful song today. God gave us Jesus, for his blood covers it all. Out of the graciousness God gave, and he lends, and his descendants are a blessing. The question I have for you this morning, for dads, for moms, for everyone, is where and how can we show grace to our children? As a dad of two teenagers, I've got three girls now in double digits. Guess what? I don't know what I'm doing. And you don't know what you're doing as parents. Pickneys, it's okay. You don't know what you're doing. Guess what? It doesn't get any easier. Positive, encouraging cross point. But we sit here in our brokenness, raising children. But the struggle comes, how much grace do I show? How much justice do I show? Sometimes we lean too far on grace and not enough justice. Sometimes we lean too far on too much justice and not enough grace. This morning, I ask you, how can we demonstrate and show grace to our children? I asked it this way as I was studying and preparing. How has God shown grace to me? How has God been favorable towards me during my times that I deserved justice and God gave me grace? How has the perfect Father God demonstrated grace towards me? I want to try to demonstrate that to my kids. Now, they would stand up and say, hey, you're not perfect. And I'd say amen to that. But we all can follow the example of our perfect Father. So today, dads, grampies, great grampies, how can you show grace to your kids? How can you show love to your kids? Even if you have a 40-year-old kid, by the way, they're always kids, they sure could use a hug. Dads, they sure could use a, you're doing really well, I'm proud of you. That means the world to your kids. Even though they're grown, have a family, and carry a mortgage, they still need your affirmation and love. Don't miss that, fathers. David says, depart from evil. Again, I wonder, I can't prove it with commentaries, I can't do that. Let me wonder for a minute. I wonder, did David have in mind his sin with Bathsheba again? Depart from evil, run away. Dads, let me challenge you. Talk about your mistakes to your kids. Don't glorify them, but let your kids know that you've made mistakes. Let them learn from your mistakes so that hopefully they won't make the same mistakes. And David is writing to his children saying, run, depart, run from evil. It's over promises and it under delivers. And then what do? You do good. Follow the words of God. Follow the Bible. Walk in the law of God. So you will abide forever. This is not works-based salvation, friends. You cannot earn your way to heaven. It's not about what you do. It's about what you've done. It's about what's been done for you through the cross of Jesus Christ. And God, out of his graciousness and his love in the previous verse, he gave us Jesus. And when we walk in obedience to God and his word, we live and abide forever in the land. David says, for the Lord loves justice and he does not forsake his godly ones. If you want to write in your margins, John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30, no one can pluck you out of the Father's hand. Jesus and God are one. David reminds his children, God does not forsake the godly ones. Again, he's older in age. How old is he? I don't know. But he's got enough wisdom. He's got enough season that he understands you cannot walk away from God. And God will always forsake, I'm sorry, God will never forsake his godly ones. He's reminding the truth of that to his children. Do not walk away from God. Stay close to him. Stay close to his word. They are preserved forever. Now notice what he does. He tells them the good. God loves justice. He will not forsake the godly ones. They're preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked, those that don't follow God, they're going to be cut off. Notice the difference. Walk in obedience to God and to his word, and he will never forsake you. Don't walk away from God. You can just see David at the end of his life, seeing all that he has seen. And I wonder this morning with Psalm 37, are you living in light of eternity or are you living with an earthly perspective? The last couple weeks, it's been really hard to not live with an earthly perspective. The price of gas at $5.15 a gallon. The price of heating oil at $6 a gallon. The price of milk at $4.35 a gallon. We've all seen this. The grocery bill that used to be $200 is now $400. And all joking aside, you can't wait for the kids to go back to school because they're literally eating you out of house and home. And we look at this and we get so earthly focused. And David is reminding his children to keep your eyes on eternity. I'm blessed to have my dad. He still is with us, me. And he had this saying that he told me all the time, which now, don't tell him, he might have been right. He looked at me and says, in light of eternity, how significant is this? Well, when you're 16 years old, you didn't get a car, it's pretty significant. But he'd look at me and say, oh, young Tom, in light of eternity, is it going to make a difference? In a week, is it going to make a difference? In a year, is it going to make a difference? Keep your eyes focused on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith. And you know what I said to him? Easy to say, hard to do. But here comes David writing this down. He says, the righteous will inherit the land. How do I become righteous? Well, again, it's not about what you do. It's about what's been done for you through the cross of Christ. That you accept the payment. You were so far into debt that you could not see the light of day. And yet here comes Jesus with the payment saying paid in full. And that's why we sing about the cross of Christ. That's why we sing about the blood. That's why parents brought up their children saying, we want to raise our children in the ways of God. The righteous will inherit the land, not because of what we've done, but because our faith and trust in what Christ accomplished on the cross. And they will dwell in it forever. David's writing to his children saying, dwell and inherit the land, literally the promised land. We are not inheriting a promised land. We're inheriting heaven, and we're going to be there forever. He says, the mouth of the righteous utter wisdom. I love my dad jokes. They make me laugh. They bring joy to me. But as my kids come to me, and they say, hey, Dad, I got a question. I look at them, I go, I have no idea. Parents, we look at our kids, and we don't have a lot of answers. But we want to speak wisdom. What wisdom can we give? Can I tell you? Let's read them God's word. Let's teach them the truths and the principles found in God's word. Well, I don't know how. How about you start with treat others the way you want to be treated? What breaks my heart And what encourages me is that today's society, they don't know God's word. That breaks my heart. But it encourages me also because we have a society that I would submit to you, some of them are really hungry for the truth of God's word. And they just don't know where to turn, and they don't know quite how to get it. But they're hungry for truth because they've tried everything else, and their cravings haven't been met because they haven't tasted of God's word. David says to them, utter wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, according to Proverbs chapter 1. You want to give your kids wisdom? Teach them to fear God. Teach them to respect God. Don't fear God like you fear spiders or snakes or the dark, but respect God. Respect His word. How do you do that? By coming to church, by having a lifestyle of worship. The law of God is in his heart. Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He says this, he says, the law of God is in his heart. He will not slip. Final question this morning. How can I help my children live according to God's word? Every father's dream is that he would raise children to walk according to God's word. How can you encourage your children? How can you help your children live according to God's word? I would submit to you the first one is to acknowledge your shortcomings. Because every dad in the room is broken. But we all come to serve and worship God who is perfect. Three questions from this morning. The first one, where and how can we show grace to our children? Second question, are you living in light of eternity? That's so easy to say, and friends, it is so hard to do. The third and final one, how can you help your children to live according to God's word? Demonstrate it, model it, read it, show it. Acknowledge when you haven't done it right, because your kids know your faults sooner than you know your faults. But they're anxious to hear your wisdom. And yes, they may do the eye roll when you start talking about when I was a kid. But listen, they're listening and they're hungry. They're hungry for the wisdom that you have. Don't back down from sharing it. Let's close our time in a word of prayer. I want to pray for two groups of people this morning, specifically on Father's Day. The first group I want to pray for are fathers that may have children that are not walking according to God and to His word. So Father's Day is heavy for you. I want to take time and pray over you. I want to pray wisdom for you that you know when to push and when to wait as you have conversations for your wayward children. So between you and me, is there anybody here that says, would you pray for me? Because I have a child that's not walking according to the Lord. I'd certainly like prayer this morning. See that one hand, two, three hands, four hands, five. Looks like six. Yep, six, seven. Is there anybody here, second group I want to pray for? You have children that you're not bragging or boasting, but you have children that are walking on the straight and narrow. And your prayer is, dear Lord, don't let them stray. And you want to be able to encourage them to continue to walk in the truths of God's word. And you'd say, would you pray for me that I know when to go and I know when to woe? Would you pray for me this morning as I interact? I see that one hand, two, three, four, five. Yep, six. Well, I've got at least 10 hands up. Lord, we're so thankful for our fathers. Pray for those dads that come here this morning. Their hearts are heavy because they have done the best that they can do. And their children are not walking in the ways and the admonition and the fear of the Lord. I pray that you might minister to the dads, that you might give them that wisdom that can come only from you, to know when to push and to know when to listen. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with that wayward child, that you would bring them back home, that you would help to turn their hearts towards you. Lord, for the children that are walking on the straight and narrow, Lord, I pray that you would encourage the fathers to continue to know when to push and when to wait. And Lord, keep those children on the straight and narrow. Lord, it's so easy to become distracted by the fears and the pressures of the earth. May you keep their fathers and the children focused on eternity. And Lord, this morning, if there's somebody here, somebody on our digital campus that does not know you as the good father, that does not have a relationship with you, Lord, may this morning be the morning that they take the time to crawl into your lap and to say, God, forgive me. Lord, give them such a holy discontent until they talk with a pastor, until they start that relationship with you saying, God, forgive me. I have done wrong. Lord, give them the boldness to follow up, to come talk to a pastor. Lord, I'm so thankful for the example you gave us of being a good, good father. Lord, we honor you first and foremost. We also honor our earthly fathers. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.